Man alive, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how the world goes day after day after day after day not knowing Jesus Christ. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. As difficult as things are in this world, and if you'd be honest, they are difficult. Knowing that you've got the Lord, He conquers all of that mess. I don't know how they do it. I really don't. I watched a bunch of people. I was going down to Dunkin' Donuts this morning, of course, and got to get that coffee. Good night. That's good stuff. I go down there to get my coffee this morning, and I see boat after boat after boat after boat headed down to West Branch. And I thought to myself, you know, there's folks, and I've heard preachers say it, there's days that they wish they could go fishing on Sunday. I've got to be honest with you. This is the most fun I have all week. I'm honest. I'm also going to be honest. It didn't used to be that way. It used to be that you looked at church and said, oh, I got to go to church again. I'm going to be honest with you. My attitude has changed so much about church in the last 10 years or so. I look forward to church. This is the most fun I have all week. I get to see my friends. I get to see people that are all pulling the same rope, the same direction. I get to hear about great testimonies. I get to hear about great things that God does. Good night. If you gave me the opportunity to go fishing or stay here, I'm just going to be right up front. This honest truth. I'd come to church. I don't know how the world does it. I don't know how they go day after day. Brother Bill and I got to go on soul winning yesterday together. And we talked to a fella. And by the way, we had 25 at least come out for soul winning. Man, if you miss soul winning, don't miss it. We have a blast. We have an absolute blast going out and telling people about Jesus Christ. I tell you what a great testimony was. I'll get to Sunday school here in a minute. What a great testimony was. We went up and down this road, and Brother Lauren Roberts, he was a pastor at Black Horse for a long time. I don't know that much about that man. I really don't. I really don't. But from what I hear, he was a good man. Okay? Don't know that much about him. But almost every house that we went to knew him. On his street. Every house we went to had some sort of a testimony. We asked everybody, do you know the Lord is your Savior? Yes, we do. And man, that's awesome. That's a whole saved street. And I'm telling you what a great testimony was. I pray that the testimony of Bethel Baptist Church on Freedom Street is, yeah, we know him. Think about that for a minute. They all knew the man. They all knew the guy that was at the church. They all knew about the church. And I know it's just a short street, but to me that was an awesome testimony to be able to walk up and down the street knowing that people are saved. Now, not everybody would come to their door, but if I came to your door, you wouldn't come either. I don't come to my door. And you don't all have to agree so quickly. But understand this, I thought it was awesome to get to go and see these people's testimonies of salvation and have that man be known there. Why? Because he was a good man that was there. Yes, Brother Wade. Did he really? Well, he definitely did something right there. Good night. He got around, didn't he? Well, like I said, from what I understand, he's a good fellow. But it was good to go out on soul winning and listen to me. You need to understand something. Somebody had to come to you. I want you to think just for 1 minute. Who told you about Christ? Huh? Everybody's got a story. If you're saved, you've got a story of how it happened. That's just the way it is. It's a fond memory for you. I know where I was. Brother Ron Brown, I just wrote him a letter not too long ago. From what I understand, he's out of church. Can you imagine that? A fellow that led me to Christ is no longer participating in the ministry in any way. That broke my heart. That absolutely broke my heart. So I wrote him a real nice letter. He hasn't responded. But you know what? I wanted him to know that he did something. Now, I'm nothing. Let me tell you something. This morning in church, I'm excited about the morning message. I really am. But let me explain something to you. The person that led you to Christ, they did something pretty great, didn't they? Where are you today? Think about that for a moment. Where are you today? You're in church. Listen, you're in Sunday school. So whoever led you to Christ, what they did was something that was wonderful by having enough guts and enough gumption to tell you about a wonderful Savior that can save your soul and give you life eternal and all the wonderful benefits that Jesus gives you. That person let you in on something. And if you can think back to who led you to Christ, I wonder if there's somebody that can look back and say, that person led me to Christ. Just a thought. I know Ron Brown, he led me to Christ. I know that. Can he look back and say, he led somebody to Christ? He can now. There's somebody that's saying, he was responsible. I know Jesus does the saving. But somebody had to tell you. Who are we telling? Somebody was unselfish enough to tell you. Who are we telling? Amen? Amen. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Job chapter 11, I'm sorry. Man, come on out for that Saturday soul winning. Good night, that's fun. Beautiful weather yesterday. Whew, that was nice. If we recall, Job just got through with another dissertation on. Again, I don't give Job the bad rap that other folks do. I honestly think that Job was searching on what he had done, what he thought he may have done, and these men were just pounding a nail on him. And to be real honest with you, if you go back to the first part, we're not going to take the time to do that right now, but if you go back to the first part of Job, God said that Job was a perfect and upright man. God said that. It wasn't Job that was announcing that. It was God saying that. So it wasn't that Job did anything wrong to go through this, and I've gone through that extensively as well, so I won't take the time, but you got this fellow that answers him his last dissertation. You got another man that comes and answers in chapter 11 named Zophar. Now this is his first answer. Zophar sat there quietly. This is his first answer back, and this is what Zophar says. And understand this, and I'm going to read the second verse, and then I'm going to give you a thought. In the second verse of chapter 11, the Bible says, "Should not the multitude of words be answered, and should a man full of talk be justified?" Let me explain something to you. Sometimes, and I've talked about this a little bit. Sometimes we feel the need as people to speak. I'm talking about it's something inside of you that you hear somebody saying something, you hear it, and eventually you got to speak. Now understand this. In this particular case, this man did not use discretion to figure out should he speak or not. One of the things that has been lost on our current population is the simple fact of keeping your mouth shut. One of the things that has been lost on, man, you feel like you got to talk anytime, every time. If somebody's talking, you got to join in. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you get into a conversation with folks that are tearing somebody else up, the best thing you can do is be quiet. The best thing you can do is be quiet. Because I'm going to tell you, one of the worst things a person can do to another, especially Christians, we do this all the time. We are the only folks that eat their young. We really are. We tear them up. And if we see somebody messing up, we see a Christian messing up, we don't talk about the grace of God, we talk about the sin of the sinner. Nothing wrong with talking about the sin. But how are we doing that? Now this man here decides he's going to go ahead and answer, but there's no sin here. Job didn't do anything wrong. So he's answering and he really doesn't know. Listen, not everything bad that happens to a Christian is God's judgment. Not everything. Matter of fact, probably very few. Very few things bad that happen to Christians. I just am amazed that Christians constantly think that this is supposed to be a party. We constantly, listen, the Lord said that you are going to suffer persecution. If you do your job as a Christian, don't be surprised when bad things come. Don't be surprised when hard times come. Never in here does it say that we're going to have easy times. Christians in general are going to lead a difficult life, but it's the greatest life you could ever live. It may be a difficult life. You may come into hardships, but what's amazing, and I love this, we've got new Christians in this church right now that are watching God do things for them. Sitting back and watching God perform miracles in their life. Baby Christians that are watching God. We can't, no thing can help me except God. Can't do it. I can't do it on my own. Watching new baby Christians go through this. And then watching mature, older Christians do it themselves. watching new Christians enjoy God working for them, and watching mature Christians say, I don't need God anymore. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't ever get to the point where you outgrow God. Don't ever get to the point where you outgrow God working for you, helping you, providing for you. Just because you've grown up and matured a little bit, don't you think for one minute that you don't need God. Man, we get older, we should rely more on God, not less. So he says, should not the multitude of words be answered? And I'm telling you, I'm imploring you. No, they don't necessarily need to be answered. Use discretion. And should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, shall no man make thee ashamed? For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure. And he never said that. Go look in the back here. Look back in Job. He never said that his doctrine was pure. Never one time. He never said his doctrine was pure. He never said, and I am clean in thine eyes. He never said that. Look at what this says. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee. Why in the world would you wish that on somebody? Do you read that, what that's saying there? That's like saying, well, brother, you know what? Brother Rod is messing up. God, smite him. Why would you want to turn God loose on somebody? Can you answer that for me? Can you answer? Why would you want a wrathful, holy God? Who are you to be asking God to tear somebody up? Do you see the insanity that you're... I've heard people. I'm telling you, it's frightening to me. I've heard Christians, and you've probably done it. I've heard Christians say, where's God at to strike them down for all the bad things they're doing? Well, God, you're letting them get away with murder down here. I'm telling you, I've heard Christians say it. I've heard Christians say, God, I wish you'd do something. Are you sure? Because who are you? Look in the mirror that God doesn't take care of you. We better be very careful. Why don't our prayers change over to, God, I wish they'd know the truth. God, I wish they'd stop that sin. God, I wish they would do right. God, I wish they would do this way. And then you can look in the mirror and say, God, I wish I'd do right. Amen? That was good preaching. I'll amen myself then. Amen. Then Zophar does something. You must understand, this happens a lot. This is frustrating, but I want to show you this. And that he would show thee those secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Boy, that's the truth. Read that verse again with me. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. My iniquity deserveth hell. My iniquity deserved to burn forever. I've got nothing good to offer. If Christians could come to that grip, they'd be a lot better off right away. I've got nothing good to offer. Look at what this says. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? For vain men would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hand towards him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. Look at 15. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. I hate it when people do this. I hate it when somebody's calling me out for something that God's doing to me or doing for me or doing through me, going through a hard time, okay? I hate it when people, and please just give me a little liberty here. I hate it when somebody preaches truth to me that doesn't even know what truth is. I hate that. I really do. I hate it when somebody pulls something out of the scripture and tries to hit you with it. And like, have you ever had anybody say to you, hey, Brother Rod, you're like this. Anybody ever say to you, man, you did that? You're a preacher. I can't believe you said that. You're a preacher. You ever had to have somebody say, give you a little truth and throw that in there, and that little truth has scalded you and you can't say anything about it because it's truth. This man did this to Job. Canst thou by searching find out God? No, I can't find out God by searching unless I search his scriptures. Can now hold on to God. His wisdom is so far greater than ours. Can you have his wisdom? No, you can't have it. Can you do anything? No, you can't without God. And he knows that. And this guy is scolding him. And yes, it's truth, but boy, that's frustrating. Yeah, I know it's truth. I get that. But you don't know why God does what he does when he does it. We deem ourselves as judges. We deem ourselves as juries. We deem ourselves knowing what God wants and what God doesn't want. We deem ourselves as having some great idea of why God does the things that he does. I don't understand them. I just preached a funeral for a 46-year-old woman. Dropped dead of a heart attack. No foul play. She was in decent shape. She wasn't somebody that had any health issues. Dropped dead. I don't know why God does the things that he does, but God does them. And he is still in control. And he is still on the throne. We as Christians, no matter what's coming in our lives, need to rely specifically on him. The reason this man, be careful what you utter, because the reason this man is uttering these things, and you can say what you want to about this, but the reason he is saying this is because it's not happening to him. Say amen to me. The reason that we are able to judge, Brother Rod, is because it's not currently happening to us. But when we go and judge somebody else, it's happening to them. Glory to God, we're standing on our white horse with wings and flying around like great judges. Woohoo! Here I am. Oh, right, let me tell you what you're doing wrong in your life. This is why God's doing it, because we're up here on this horse looking down our nose. This is why. And then it happens to you. Judge not, lest ye be judged. It could come back to haunt you. We don't know why God does what he does. One thing we forsake, though, is prayer. Have you prayed for your enemy? Have you prayed for the person who's going through a hard time? Have you prayed for those people? Instead of talking, why don't you pray? Just a thought. Let's move on. I like what Job answers. Turn over to 12:1. We're going to go through the rest of Job fairly quickly because we spent like a year on it. But look at Job chapter 12. And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. He gets a little sarcastic here. Wisdom will die with you. You're so smart and so very capable, people. Look at what it says. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? Duh. This is what he's saying. Look at me. Job's not saying I'm not inferior to you because he's superior to them. Please understand that. He's saying I'm not inferior to you because we're all sinners. We're all sinners. Is there anybody in here that has not sinned this morning? Amen? The first cup of coffee I got was not good. I sinned immediately. Why? Because I was irritated that I got a bad cup of coffee. Do you understand that we are all sinners? We're all clay. We're all dust. Nobody's inferior to anybody else. Nobody's superior to anybody else. Job is sitting. By the way, he still got boils. By the way, he's still sitting in an ash heap. By the way, he's still talking to these men in severe pain. By the way, he's still living right now under God's testing. Even through all this testing, he's letting these people know, listen, all I wanted was some compassion. All I wanted was you to pray with me. All I wanted was somebody. He didn't ask him to come. They came because he was their friend. When they got there, they skinned him. Why? Because they thought for a moment that they were better. We spend a lot of our time in that way. We spend a lot of our time. You go to the jail ministry, you sit in that room and you think you're better. You're there for the wrong reasons. But by the grace of God, there go I. You must understand something. When Job is in this position, he sees and he knows what's going on. He knows who God is. He doesn't understand why God is doing what he's doing, and you don't understand either. But he knows who to rely on. Look at what it says. Look at 13. Verse 1, lo, mine eye hath seen all this, mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. Again, he's telling him, don't talk down to me. There's a few things that I have big pet peeves about. I had some bosses in my past that I worked for. And if you were an employee of theirs, you were a dog. And I will not be talked down to. It's not that I care about that I'm better or not better. I'm not better than anybody else. Please don't misread me. That's not the statement. The statement is I don't want to be talked down to. That's a pet peeve of mine. Don't treat me like a dog. I hate that. That's what don't treat me like a child. Don't treat me like a dog. Don't treat me like you own me. Ask me to do something. I'll gladly do it. But if you order me to do it like I'm a dog, I got a problem. I had a boss that used to curse me. I don't like that. I don't like that. There's a lot of things I'll put up with, but I won't put up with that. Okay? So you must understand, it's not that I feel, I don't like to be talked down to. Therefore, I don't like to talk down to people. You'll never hear me one time preach that I'm better than you. You'll never hear me get up here say I'm pious and here. I believe that I'm the chiefest of all sinners. I believe that. I believe that the thought processes that people have in the human side of things, and I'm a preacher, I'm called preacher. It's not like I go out and do the things that are bad, but I know how frail, and I know my frame, and I'm telling you, I know that I'm a sinner. I embrace the fact that I'm a sinner. I embrace the fact that Jesus Christ died for this old sinner. I'm vile. I'm wretched. I would to God Christians across America would grab a hold of the fact that Jesus Christ died for your condition. Died for you because he had to. Why? Because we couldn't do it on our own. You could never be good enough. We're all the same. When you go out soul-winning and you talk to somebody, Brother Gray gave us several different thoughts of what it would help our soul-winning motivation. If you look at that person as somebody that is you, look at their condition of going to heaven or going to hell. Look at their condition as somebody that truly has an eternity. And you look down on somebody and say, well, they're a bus kid. Well, they're a sinner just like you. They have an eternity just like you. They have times just like you have. And I'm telling you right now, Job is trying to say, listen, you three men are coming here and you're telling me all these things, but I'm not inferior to you. We're all sinners. It's easy to judge when you can stand up on the horse, but it's hard to be judged. So take care when you're judging someone. Look at what this says. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. I just went to a doctor 2 weeks ago maybe, and he was a physician of no value. You might say, well, why? This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And you can give me all the scientific thought processes you want. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I think you've got a sickness. Thank you. That's why I'm here. I don't go to the doctor to say hello. I walked in like the walking dead, dragging myself into this place. I'm pathetic when I'm sick. I'm just going to be honest with you. I really am. When I'm sick, man, people have to do stuff for me. I'm just pathetic. I get just a little sick. My wife could be deathly sick. She still does everything, cleans the house, whatever she does. She still does it. When I get sick, I'm, bring me some medicine. So I go to the doc and I say, man, doc, I'm sick. And he says, well, studies show that this is probably viral. So what? What does that mean to me? Well, what it means is this. It's probably not bacterial, so giving you an antibiotic would be foolish. Why is that foolish? He says, well, it could be bacterial, but you'll know in 5 more days. Wow. What? What is that? What do you mean 5? So I got to be like this for 5 more days? He says, well, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this prescription. The glory to God, that's what I wanted to hear, is prescription. I don't feel good. Give me something. I'm going to give you this prescription for penicillin. Praise the Lord. But you can't fill it for 5 more days. I said, give me that prescription. I'm going to fill it whenever I want to. Give me that prescription. So he puts a date on there. Do not fill until 5 more days. That's a physician of no value. So I went home and I got inside my cupboard. And I looked at, and I had some, you may not like this, but that's the way it goes. I had some of Luke's medicine. Penicillin, the little bubblegum stuff. The pink stuff. It's been pink forever. Still tastes rotten. They tell you that it tastes good. That's a lie. And I had a bottle, and I'm telling you, I was walking death. I felt terrible. I drank it down. Here's what's funny. The next day, I felt tremendous. I went to a doctor for no value. Why? Because he didn't help me. Now listen, I said all that to say this. What are you as a Christian supposed to do? I love this. This is a thought that preacher taught me real. As soon as I got here, he taught me this right away. Sometimes you are the answered prayer. Now, you need to hear this now. I hate to be, and there's scripture that backs this up, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase. We're running out of time. Don't, if Brother Rod Black needs 10 bucks, I got 10 in my pocket. He's been praying for God to give him 10 bucks. And I go up to him and say, I'll pray for you. What if you're the answered prayer? What if you are the answer? What if you missed it? What if you missed out on the blessing? Well, I pray for you, brother. Go thy way. God will give it to you. Will you expect God to put it on the sidewalk in front of him? Maybe God put it in your pocket so you could give it. When these fellas showed up, they started off right. They sat with Job for days, praying with him, silent, mourning with him. And then they had to talk. They opened up their mouth. That was the end of it. Job comes back and says, your physician's of no value. You're not helping me here. Listen, you know somebody that has a need. Come on now. You know somebody that has a need. What if it's just a card? There's days and days and days that this sweet lady sends me cards, stickers everywhere. She must spend half her budget on stickers. I love it. Listen, it always seems to work out that she sends me a card when I need it. What happens if she stops? She's my answered prayer. God miraculously gave this lady the thought to say, you can say what you want to, a card is a miracle to some people. Just a thought, knowing that encouragement is coming, knowing that somebody cares about you enough to take the time to lick a stamp. Well, they don't lick them anymore, they stick them. Thank goodness for that, amen. If she doesn't take the time to do it, I don't get encouraged that day and I go around being a sad sack. Oh, I'm sure none of you have ever been sad sack. But listen to me. What if you are that answer? Don't go around being a physician of no value. Don't go around being somebody that's not willing to put your feet to your belief. You believe God will provide. What if he provided for you so you could provide for somebody else? Think about this now. This is the way America ought to work. It really is. We shouldn't be relying on the government. We should be relying on the churches. We should be relying on Christian people. That's the way it used to be. Benevolence used to be something. See, what you got to understand is this. We've got it all wrong. We feel like we're entitled. We're not entitled to anything but what God gives us. And maybe God gave me something that I can give to them. Maybe God gave me something I can give to them. Maybe God. But you go around with blinders on, with your eyes shut, physicians of no value, because all you care about is how your life's going. Get out of that mentality. I've watched on the stinking rotten TV the other day. I'm telling you, I'm getting more and more sick of TV. When in the world, can I ask you a question? And I know this is probably not going to go over well. When in the world did we deem actors and actresses to be the intelligent people of our day? That no matter what they say, because it's their face on the TV saying it, it must be right. Good night. I don't know any of them that can carry a math score. You're talking about, I'm not saying they're not intelligent. Listen to me. Why in the world do you look to celebrities? Why do we look at Hollywood icons as people that know something? But you'll talk to your preacher, oh, my preacher's just a bumbler. But that person's smart? Somebody that can't read unless it's written for them? Listen to me. We have become a people that are so concerned with ourselves. Look at these people. Can I ask you a question? The thing that I noticed about when I go through this book of Job, all three of these men that are frying him are concerned about them. Do you ever see one of them picking up a potsherd? No, think. I want you to think with me. I'm telling you, this really got to me. Did you ever see one of them going to get some salve? Come on now, think with me, people. You got to think with me. There's three men that can't wait to stand over. This man, I wonder if he's thirsty sitting in an ash heap. Do you ever see him getting a drink of water for the guy? Come on now, listen to me. These men came along and they had the ability. Maybe Job couldn't get up and walk so well because he's got boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, yet they don't go get him a drink of water. You don't see him getting him something to eat. What you see is them scalding him and frying him and judging him. What if you're the answered prayer? What if you're the answered prayer to our eyes open enough to see a need? We say, well, if I give that to that people, then I won't give God a chance to do it. What? Maybe you're the chance that God has. It's like the fellow that was on top of his house in a flood. Lord, please send something to rescue me. Oh, God, please take me off the top of this roof. Helicopter comes by. Please grab the rope. No, I'm waiting for God to come. I'm waiting for God to rescue me. Helicopter flies off. Boat comes by. Hey, jump on in the boat. We'll get you off the roof. No, I'm waiting for God to come by. The fellow dies in the flood. Goes up and sees God. God says, well, hello. The fellow says, hey, why didn't you rescue me? He says, well, I sent a boat and a helicopter. Why didn't you jump on? What happens if we're the answer? Come on, now think with me. You understand something. We go around thinking that we can't help. I come from a whole line of stingy people. We do. My family's stingy. We have a Christmas draw. We put serious limits on our prize giving. I come to Pastor Skyver's house for the very first time. I came here from Toledo. This is back when the turnpike didn't cost you $150 to travel from here to there. I come with $10 in my wallet. Preacher almost had a heart attack. He says, how much money you got, bud? How much money? And you, if you know Pastor at all, if he ain't married to it, you can have it. Seriously, I'm not kidding you. He would give you us. No problem. You want my kid? Yeah, here he is. He'll give you the most generous man I know. You will not find a man more generous than your preacher. You won't find it. You won't find it. I don't care what it is. If he finds out you need it, I'm telling you, you're going to get it. Don't get too crazy, though. Christmas is coming. Anyways, when I came here, I knew the value of something for me. Please hear me today. I knew the value that something meant to me. This is what it is for me. Preacher taught me what the value of something is for you. He has it. It's his. But what does it mean if he gave it to you? You can grab a hold and hold on to something and make it yours and keep it. But what happens if you make it somebody else's? One of the greatest teachings that you can get is to see a need of someone else and do your best to fill it. We spend too much time worrying about ourselves. Jesus didn't need to come. Jesus didn't need to die. As a matter of fact, Jesus could have made it any way he wanted. But Jesus said, I could hold salvation to myself. He could have. But if I come down and give it to them, it would mean so much more. I'll give you an illustration. One of the greatest men I've ever met in my entire life was Dr. Bruce Cummins. One of the greatest men I've ever met. Not that he was flashy, although he was a wonderful man. I got a very small time to meet him. I didn't get to speak with him that much. But he's one of those men, if you've ever met him, he's one of those men that when they enter the room, you knew he was there. His countenance was such that you could see the humility. Honestly, I've never met anybody like him. He went to talk with my dad and they became fast friends. You always become fast friends with Pastor Skyver. And he became fast friends with Brother Cummins. And Brother Cummins was down in the basement one day, and Dad will automatically, if you go down to the basement, you make three steps down, radio collection is the first thing he's going to talk about. If you've ever been in Dad's house, radio collection is it. You'll trip over him. He goes down there, and Brother Cummins, he takes a step back, and he says, "Where did you get that?" And the preacher says, "What? Where did you get that?" And he goes over and sees this Navy radio. Now, we didn't know what it was. Dad just picked it up because it looked old. And he looked at it. It's pristine condition, by the way. He looked at it, and he said, "This is what I used to operate when I was on the ship." Wow. And Dad says, "I want you to have it." Now listen, that wasn't even a thought. As soon as Dr. Cummins fixed his eyes on something, he didn't have to say another word. Preacher was going to give it to him. Yes, preacher could have held it, and yes, he could have grabbed it, and yes, he could have said, "Yeah, but that's nice. It must be worth something if you like it. So I'm just going to keep it." I'm not saying to go and give away all your stuff. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is, when somebody comes and you see a need, why in the world don't we want to fill it? Good Lord have mercy, that beautiful. And by the way, we go over to his house later. I'm going to continue with the illustration. I haven't heard the buzzer. We go to Brother Cummins' house. And by the way, you go to his house, that was something special. He didn't let just anybody come to his house. And we go into this man's house. Good night. He has this Navy radio all displayed real nice with some of his pictures and things. Do you see what it meant to him? See, sometimes if you give what you have to somebody else, it becomes greater than what you had, even to you. We went there for one specific purpose. I love this. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'll never forget it. We asked Brother Cummins, "Brother Cummins, we look at you as one of the greats," and he was. I'm telling you, that man was a great man. "Brother Cummins, would you pray over us?" See, I believe in older men praying over you. I really do. I think that's one of the greatest things you can do. You have them old gray-headed men pray over. Oh, man, there's just something about that. This was Brother Cummins' answer. You'll like this, Andy. He says to me, "And preacher," he says, "I'll pray over you, but under one condition." I thought it was going to be some kind of scripture to be read or some, please send me, I didn't know. "Under one condition," I love this, "you pray over me first." Let me explain something to you. The men that have done truly great things for God are humble enough to understand that it's God doing them. Are humble enough to understand that they may be in a position to answer a prayer of somebody. They may be in a position to answer. No more encouragement was given. Listen to me. Him praying over me became second in nature to him asking me to pray over him. Because he understood, and I got a great lesson that day in humility. He understood who he was. He saw a need and filled it. I got to believe, I didn't know him very long. Brother Rod, you knew longer than I did. But I got to believe Brother Cummins was somebody that if he saw a need, he filled it. When you look at these three men, I challenge you to look at them. Did they fill the need or did they cut down the man? I want you to look at that. If you see a need, you could be that answered prayer. I wonder if we'd be willing to be the answer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to teach Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you would teach me the lesson. Lord, I need it. I need, Lord, to be looking more often on what needs I could fulfill, because, Lord, I miss it all the time. Oh, God, please help me to be a vessel to be used by you. I would to God everybody under the sound of my voice this morning would just yearn to be a vessel that can be used by you, always available to be answers to prayer. Not just praying for what we can get, but praying for what we can give. God, help us today. Help us today to not fall into the mentality that is rampant through this world today of number one is all that matters. Help us to look to help, not look to get. Lord, please be with us today in the church service. Lord, anoint my pastor. I've got to believe he preached this morning. I really got to believe that. Lord, help him. Help him to keep him healthy, Lord. Oh, God, we need him here. It's been far too long since he's been in this pulpit. Lord God, please be with him and help him to get 100% healthy again, Lord, so we can move forward. We need our shepherd. Oh, God, please be with him. Bring him and Miss Rosie back safely, Lord. Let him be a blessing wherever he's at. But, Lord, please bring him back safely, Lord, so he can fulfill a need here. Oh, God, be with us today in a special way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.